Welcome into this archived episode of the Original Essay Talk podcast. It's your favorite local podcast host and retirement advisor, Zach Espericueta. With the changes to the original podcast and rebrand in May of 2021, the current events and interview follow-up segments were taken out of these archived episodes for easier accessibility to the interview itself. Most new listeners just want to hear the interview anyway. Keep that in mind if you hear any references made to other segments or when you hear some of the old podcast music. I really hope you enjoy this interview. Be sure to give the podcast a rate and review on Apple Podcasts and a follow on social media at Essay Pod Network. Enjoy the episode. So welcome back into the podcast. Today we are joined by Linda Pearson, founder and owner of the Scooby Van SA here in San Antonio. She's been driving a spray painted Scooby vehicle for the last 10 years, and she's turned her latest Scooby van into a mobile little free library. And her mission is to bring San Antonio together through literacy, sharing smiles, and free books. So Linda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. This is exciting. I'm looking forward to sharing what we're doing. We got a lot of cool things going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. Give us a little backstory of how you got started and how it evolved into what it is now.
10 years ago, I found myself newly divorced with two little kids. I had been a former business executive. It was right when the bottom kind of dropped out of everything. People were losing jobs. So it was just a really crazy, crazy time. And so I really had nothing except creativity and innovation to kind of entertain the kids. And we did a lot of creative things because I'm an extremely creative person. And at that time, I was kind of experimenting with spray paint and spray paint art. And it was more of a way of covering things up just to keep them not so busy so my eyes could see them and go, "Ooh, this is cool." And I was just letting the creative process go. So I grab a can of lime Scooby green spray paint. And I just go out to my black old Lexus sedan and I just start painting the tire. And actually, it was a very cathartic, therapeutic thing. And so I thought, well, this feels like fun. And so I grabbed this pink spray paint. I'm painting the side of the car and I'm laughing. So if, when I'm laughing, I know I'm on the right track, right? The car ends up hot, bright pink. And the tires are all bright green. And I wanted it to be a community art project. For me, it was important to bring people together and to have community and to get people to break down the barriers. So anyway, all good things must come to an end. And that car died because it was pretty old. And so I got a silver van. And I thought, okay, well, this is exciting because this is a van instead of a car. So I went ahead and spray painted it. And then the one thing I noticed right off the bat was how wonderful it was at connecting people. So here I had this pink art car and I thought I was going to connect the community. And just by taking this silver van and spray painting it Scooby, first of all, I could find it in the parking lot again. And then second of all, people would just come up to me and they would just share their stories and they'd be all excited and it would mean something different to every person. So that connecting ability for the Scooby van was a critical component for me because I knew someday down the road when I had time, I was going to do something with the Scooby van. I just didn't know what. So long story short, that one gets repainted a second time to a different color blue. And then, the van is getting invited into birthday parties. And sometimes people leave gifts for me on the windshield, little Scooby things. And so that's been really cool. It was a very difficult time for me back then, too. So that was really nice. Fast forward, that one dies. My son was starting high school and he didn't want a Scooby van anymore. He's like, "Mom, no, do not paint this new car. No." And it's a silver Chrysler Town and Country. So it's kind of beefy. And to me, it's a canvas, right? And so I'm standing back looking at it and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of beefy. The other one was a girl. It was obvious it was a girl car. This one's going to be a boy car. It's kind of beefy. How am I going to fit the design on it? Whatever. And so we were busy and I just kind of let it sit for a while. And luckily, once he got settled in with high school, you know, he gave me the blessing and I could repaint it now Scooby because I couldn't find it in the parking lot. That was the biggest thing. Quite a few silver minivans. So I repaint the thing and it's actually still not finished. I have to do the flowers on the tires. And then life is busy and crazy. COVID hit, as we all know, right? And so my real business is called Big Box Innovation. And in the middle of my living room is an 8-foot cardboard box. So I was going to have workshops for kids and we were going to do literacy, creativity, innovation. And we were going to all get into this box because there's a sensory deprivation situation that happens in the box, which people don't get to experience, which really enhances creativity. But COVID hit, so I couldn't do that. And then at the same time, I've always wanted to have a little free library, but I didn't want to dish out the money for one because while they're wonderful and it's a great organization, they're a little expensive and I don't have the skills to build one. What happened was my good friend had a son who just got out of prison. And so I offered to take him in as an intern to teach him some skills, maybe give him some job training. He and I got to sitting around talking about books and our love of books. We got excited about that. And I just happened to check the little free library website. And this time I saw the mobile library sign. And I went, wait a minute, hello, I just have to register it, buy this sign, put it in the windshield of my car, and now I'm officially a little free library. And so then around that same time, everybody started chatting on the Nextdoor app about, oh yeah, you know, I've seen you around the community and my kids have grown up with you and this is exciting and what are you doing? And I just started sharing, yeah, well, we're a little free library. And then everybody's like, well, how can we get books to you? And it just kind of blew up. It just all sort of just fell into place. Somebody would want to donate books and I'd go to their neighborhood and I'd tell the rest of the neighborhood on Nextdoor app, hey, I'm coming over there to collect books, right? And so then hopefully they would get books together and we would collect books. Every time somebody donates books, they're not just donating one children's book. They're donating a handful of books, which is great. Primarily, what I figured out very quickly, using the Scooby Van for what it is, which is a connecting type of tool, and also promoting literacy, which is important, very quickly realized that, okay, we need to do something here as far as helping the underserved kids. And that's kind of what it has turned into. And the primary mission is to bring the community together through literacy. We're kicking off the Scooby Van in San Antonio, the Southside chapter. And we've got April Monterosa of Life from the Southside magazine, the editor-in-chief. And we've got Patricia Butler, who is the owner of Caficionado. And then we have Norm Velez of Brewster's Backyard Ice House. And those are the three primary folks who just grabbed it and ran with it. And so we're all kind of the same mindset. We got the same heart for giving. And they just took it and ran with it, which is great. And it really is kind of going to be the model of what a community can do with the Scooby Van. And we've also got some things going on the west side. Jefferson Bodega was the first one who reached out to us immediately to see if we could come and do a giveaway event, which we did. And we were just making it up as we went. But we ended up giving away a book to a child every 2.5 minutes. We gave away 82 books that day and the kids were excited. Each time we do something, we're figuring out what works and what doesn't work.
Tell us a little more about Little Free Library and what that is.
Right. So that's one leg of the stool. So real quick, the overview, it's like a three-legged stool. So the C of the stool, the primary mission is to bring the community together through literacy. And the three legs of the stool are, one is the Little Free Libraries, which I'll explain. The next one, obviously, is the books that we get out to the community. And then the last leg of the stool is literacy, obviously, to supporting that effort in the community. Through the Little Free Library organization, they said, well, look, you can sign up for First Books. And this is an organization that will give you books for free or give you deeply discounted books. And what we're doing with the Little Free Libraries is the lady donated them. And the Southside chapter has already planned on talking to the scout troops and potentially the shop classes at the schools, getting them to build these libraries as a project so we can have them for the community. And then if there's more books being taken than put in the library, then the Scooby Van can come and pay a visit and help load it back up. Right now, two businesses, of course, have adopted them. And that's probably the way that's going to work versus an individual, because more people visit a business.
When you say a Little Free Library, and to be completely honest with you, I hadn't heard about it until this summer during COVID. I think some of our listeners may not even know what that is. You know, you keep referring to a Little Free Library and something being built. So kind of explain to our listeners, what is a Little Free Library? Is it a bookcase? Is it a little box? You know, so kind of explain to our listeners that may be curious about it, you know, what is the design and what exactly is it and where are they put?
So the Little Free Library is actually started, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, maybe longer, from a guy who just wanted to have books out there somewhere where people could just come and take a book and give a book. And so he started the organization. And so what it actually is while they have kits, you can go to littlefreelibrary.com and buy a kit and put it together and put it out there in your front yard. Each library has to have a sponsor, somebody who's going to kind of take care of it, and they decorate them for the holidays. And so the kits are like a little house. It's a little with a door on the front. But the beautiful thing behind the organization is you don't have to use their kit. You can use whatever you want. Some people use the old metal newspaper boxes where they would sell newspapers out of. Some people take kitchen cabinets, as long as it's weatherproof and safe. Some people put lights on them. They decorate them up. And so it's really anything that you can use to put out there and mount in your front yard and put books in so the community can come and take a book or give a book. And so the nice thing about the organization is that you go online and to register your Little Free Library, they give you a plaque because each one has a registration number and you hang the plaque on the library. And then that puts your Little Free Library on a map. anybody in the community can say, oh, I want to go visit a little free library. They just go to the website, they look at the map, and they can see the ones that are close to their house. Now, with San Antonio, there actually are not a lot of, we're the seventh largest city in the country, and we do not have a lot of little free libraries. Obviously, the initiative there is let's get these installed in the neighborhoods who probably need them the most, and then support them so we can get that initiative going. So that's what a little free library is. It's a great organization. So we're not having to reinvent the wheel on a lot of the stuff we're doing. We're just supporting the great initiatives that are already out there.
I know you're starting on the south side, and there's, you know, you're kind of moving into the west side. So where do you see this expanding into other communities, and how do they kind of adapt to this model?
That's a great question, because, and I know people think I'm crazy, but the big, hairy, audacious goal that we have actually is to get out 1 million books. And so the big vision, the 5-10 year goal or whatever it would be, is starting on the south side with these motivated, wonderful entrepreneurs and people and neighbors down there, is that we're actually going to build this model through just the momentum that we have down there. And then we can expand that. Once we get that model in place, then we can grow it on the different sides of the city. We're starting on the west side as well. But the good thing about that is we're leaving some flexibility to let the community develop it into whatever they want it to be, as long as it fits the mold of what we're trying to do, because there's different flavors and different personalities in the different communities, which is wonderful. And so once we get the model overall in San Antonio, and we have like the South Side chapter, the West Side, the East Side, or whatever, however many chapters we need, then the Scooby Van of San Antonio could also be adopted and be the Scooby Van of Austin or the Scooby Van of Houston. And then that makes it more doable to reach that goal. And so the idea is to build a model for the city and let San Antonio be the model for other communities and other cities that say, wow, that's really cool what they did there. How do we do that in our city?
I find it a little funny. Amanda and I were talking about this a couple episodes ago when we first brought up the idea of bringing you on as a guest. We're surprised, or at least I'm surprised, that people actually still know what Scooby is. And I'm talking about kids, because I'm telling Amanda, I didn't even know that they still had that cartoon on. I mean, I'm thinking of an older cartoon, you know, my parents would watch, that I would watch, but I don't know necessarily the kids today are watching, but hey, they know about it. So that's good news.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, the reaction doesn't matter whether they're one or 101, people see it, and there's just this, the light comes on, they just smile. And we actually got invited. We don't do birthday parties, just for the record, but we went to a birthday party and they donated a bunch of books. And it was a family of about 25, 30 people doing their COVID birthday party. I said, well, how is it that your 1-year-old is a Scooby-Doo fan? And she said, oh, well, my 3-year-old is a Scooby-Doo fan. The new movie just came out and she's all about Scooby-Doo. And now, of course, he's about it because we watch it every single day. And yeah, so there's all kinds of movies that have come out. It's their 50th anniversary of the Scooby-Doo gang this year. And then it was funny because when we went to Jefferson Bodega on the west side and we had our first free book giveaway, he had immediately contacted me and we went out there and did that. And some of the parents were so funny. They said, okay, here's the deal. I'm here for me, but I'm bringing the kids too. Because I just love it.
Well, it's very nostalgic for our generation, I feel like. I mean, I grew up on Scooby-Doo. He was my favorite. I had Scooby-Doo everything. And so, like I said, it just brings me back to my childhood and everything that I could want my children to grow up learning about as well.
But I did want to share with you real quick. I started talking about the, because I tend to get off track. So the three-legged stool, if I could go on about the other two things, we've talked about the library. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the books part, giving out the free books and how we're doing that, a part of this model, so everybody can understand that. Because people, you know, they're texting me and they're messaging me going, how do I get my books to you? So obviously on the south side, we're launching this Sunday, and then we'll have Brewster's Backyard. We'll have what I'm calling the Groovy Book Bucket, which is a part of a program which is going to help us to collect books. But that's actually going to officially launch in January, because I don't want to launch something before I'm ready to. But we recently partnered with the Rolling Oaks Mall. And so the weekend after Thanksgiving, we will be there with the Scooby Van. Will be right inside the mall, right next to the Christmas tree, so people can come and take pictures. And for those who want to bring children's books, used or new, and donate them and put them in the Groovy Book Buckets, then we'll give them a Scooby snack to show our appreciation. And then we'll also be there the weekend after Christmas as well. Again, collecting books, but we'll also be doing free book giveaways a couple times during the weekend as well. And so the Groovy Book Bucket is a program in and of itself. The idea there is if businesses want to have a book bucket, they can have the book bucket in their business and the customers can come to them and donate the children's books. And then when the bucket gets full, the Scooby Van can come pick up the bucket, We can take pictures and we can share the fun with everybody. And so it's a win-win-win. The kids win, the businesses win, and we win because we're getting books. And so that's a great way, easy way to collect books. We're hoping, we've already got one of the stores in the mall. And we've even talked about putting our little groovy flower. You can see it on my shirt. We're going to put the little groovy flower on the mall map, you know, where it shows all the stores. And here's the restroom and you are here. We're actually going to have groovy little flowers that shows where the book buckets are so people can go and donate. Mainly what people do is they'll reach out and say, hey, we want you to come to our event, or we want you to come to our homeowners association or something like that. We started out picking them up one person at a time, but that's very time intensive, labor intensive. And so now we're going with homeowners associations who want to have a Scooby van and a food truck. We collected over 400 books in 2 hours, or businesses who want to have an event. As long as it's in alignment with what we're doing, we can collect books and we can give away books. And I did want to share real quick about the book thing. And the reason we're giving out books, because we believe that every child should at least own one book. And I never had a book growing up, and so I know what that feels like. The reality is that children who own books are 6 times more likely to read above the level expected for their age. They're nearly 3 times more likely to enjoy reading, and they're more than twice as likely to agree that reading is cool. So, and I was not aware of that until I looked that up, and I thought, wow. So getting a book into a kid's hands, one they could call their own with their Scooby snacks that they can snack on while they're reading their book, really is going to make a difference for a lot of these kids. So we're excited about that. And then the last leg is literacy. And so we have what we call our Groovy Readers program. So, and it's just a coloring page of the Scooby van with some flowers. And if they read 10, they will be able to get this. The parents will be able to get it from the website, download it, and from our social media. And they basically read 10 books, color in the whole sheet. And then the next time they see us, bring the sheet. Then we'll give them a Scooby snack and a Scooby van sticker or something like that. The neat thing about that program, again, it's got to be community-based, is that we can tailor it. So if the Rolling Oaks Mall, for instance, wants to have a reading program, we're going to tailor that program so that Chick-fil-A or other businesses can give out the rewards. If they bring the Groovy Readers card to Chick-fil-A, then they can get their reward. And so that's another way of getting the community involved in the reading program. And then we're really excited about, on the literacy side, we've got an author. Her name is Alda P. Dobbs, and she is actually from the South Side. And she is going to be our virtual story time reader. We're going to have Groovy Readers YouTube channel in January. And she's actually going to read the stories virtually in English and in Spanish. Same exact book, English and Spanish. And so because we want to reach the underserved community. And the kids who listen to those videos can actually get credit for having read the books, because we know right now it's not exactly easy to get books from the library. It's very doable, and I've been doing it, and the library has a great system in place. But families are busy. Life is a little bit crazy, as we know. And so we're going to give them credit for attending a virtual story time as well. So we're excited about that program and supporting the literacy efforts of the local libraries and the schools and whatever it is they're doing. We're just going to share what that is, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Just get people educated on what's going on around them so they can take advantage of it.
A couple of things you mentioned right there really stood out to me. And if you know anything about me, and I'm sure Amanda can speak about it, I'm a huge advocate of literacy, more specific financial literacy when it comes to my business. But, you know, just literacy in general and having access to information and books, you know, and I'm sure statistics back up the importance of books being in lives. So I think it's fantastic what you're doing for children and the youth and the community, and making it fun, right? Making it fun by adding the Scooby van, you know, to it, and then all the wonderful colors. And, you know, another thing you said was how you're partnering with these other organizations and small businesses. And, you know, I saw recently on social media that you had gotten some buckets donated by B&B, which,
yes,
if you ask me, my favorite barbecue spot in San Antonio, I'm going to tell you 10 times out of 10 that it is B&B on the South Side. So, but speaking of, you know, partnering with businesses, we always believe that's what makes San Antonio so unique and different and wonderful, is that the businesses here in San Antonio, we are like a family. We are a family. We work together. We promote one another. Again, I can't say enough how important that is for small businesses to work together. And speaking of that uniqueness that San Antonio has, tell our listeners and give us your opinion on what, to you, why is San Antonio so important to you and your business? And why do you love San Antonio?
you know, I come from a military family, so I've moved a lot of different places. I lived in a lot of different places. And for the people who are born and raised here, it's funny when I talked, when I first moved here, I was like, well, have you ever been downtown? I was all excited, right? And, oh, my sister's coming to visit and we're going to go downtown. And the woman looked at me and she's like, well, why? I'm like, do you not realize what San Antonio is? Oh my God, this place is amazing. Right. And so to look at it from a fresh set of eyes from somebody who hasn't been from here, I got here as soon as I could, right? 25 years ago. But San Antonio has a very unique, different feel. I've lived in a lot of places and it's by far my favorite place to have ever lived. And I'm proud to say that I lived here. I've lived places that I don't really want to tell people that I lived there. I hate doing it where you're from. And I don't even want to say, right. But it's family. And I think just doing, I love my job. I love doing what we're doing here because it's just all happening naturally and organically, which is great. And getting people involved and knowing that there's so many people and businesses that want to help and they want to step up, but with COVID going on and them not having time and not knowing what to do, this makes it real easy for people to help. And that's just kind of the, to me, that's kind of the signature of what San Antonio is. It's people and community and family. And it feels very much like a big giant family, which I come from a big family, but having moved around and not having lifelong friends, you know, sometimes you feel like you're kind of alone and isolated. And I don't feel that way here because it's just a wonderful, warm, laid back, great place to live. So for those of you who are from here that don't realize that, there you go.
It's funny you say that because Zach and I have been born and raised here our entire lives, yet our perspective has changed throughout the years. And the more we do this podcast, I think it's even ever changing there because we see all the incredible people that San Antonio has, much like yourself. We always like to wrap up the podcast asking our guests what legacy they want to leave here in San Antonio.
Well, for me, that's an easy one too, because of the big picture goal. I think what I tell people is they may think I'm crazy. I said, but you know what I want? I want people to look at what San Antonio is doing. San Antonio is doing a lot of great things, but in regards to what I'm doing and what the Scooby Van is doing with our chapters growing, what I want is for us to develop this in San Antonio and have it operating and having it give us more of a family feel and strengthen our communities. And I want other cities to be calling me going, okay, what is that you're doing and how can we do that? Because once that happens, I know we've done it. And then we can help other cities to either start a chapter or to start their own program or to do whatever they want. But we've built this model here and I know it's going to be a success. And then other cities can then do the same thing, however they want to do it. And then we're helping more than just our own city. We're helping other cities, theoretically, I mean, the nation or whatever, however big we want to get this thing. So that's the legacy. I think building something that other cities will look on and say, wow, that's really cool. That was really super simple. We need to do that too.
Before we let you go, you know, let our listeners know where they can find you, whether it be social media, whether it be your website. And then I know you talked about, of course, the different locations that they can donate books, but kind of remind our listeners where they can donate books, maybe donate time if possible, or donate money.
So our website is scoobyvansa.org. And then on Facebook and Instagram, we're scoobyvansa. So that makes it easy. You know, it's life is busy. So at least I try to get something on Instagram and then I try to share it to Facebook. But we do have our event schedule on the internet, on our website, and every event we have will be on our Facebook page. And then we will post when we will be out there as well. And the organizations we're working with do a fantastic job of getting the word out as well. So that's good. Partnering with the Rolling Oaks Mall, that'll be out there. So people can come to these big events and we're going to try to get spread out throughout the city. I would love to do, once we get the Rolling Oaks Mall model done, I would love to work with other malls. So I just ask people to be patient, clean out. Everybody's cleaned out their shelves, right? We've had plenty of time. Get them sorted out. And then when you know we're going to be around, just come and donate them. And they can always reach out to us through the website contact form or through email at scoobyvansa@gmail.com and say, hey, I have books. I'm way out here. Let's figure out something. And nothing else, we can create an event around them in their area and we can make that happen. But as far as how people can help, right now, the challenge is right now is not letting it grow so fast that I can't keep up with it. But the biggest help right now is basically all of this is being funded out of my grocery money. The biggest help right now would be financial donations because everybody has stepped up in all areas possible and even more areas than I even thought about people have stepped up in. And so going on the website, it's scoobyvansa.org and clicking on the donate button and donating would be a huge help. Eventually, we will have a Facebook donate button, but we're trying to get all those pieces in place. For people that don't have PayPal, if they want to send a check, they can just make it out to Scooby Van of San Antonio. And then I don't have our address out there anywhere, but they could just message me on the Facebook page or anywhere, and then I can get the address for them. Pretty soon we'll have a mailbox where I don't have to have all the stuff coming here. We'll be official with a mailbox and all that. But that's the biggest way right now is the financial support. So we can make sure that we can keep gas in the van and get the insurance paid and the Scooby snacks bought and pay for the website. And, you know, there's a million different things behind the scenes that got to be paid for. So.
Linda, we appreciate, again, Amanda and I both appreciate you the time you took to come on the podcast and speak with us and tell us your story and what you do for the community and how important it is what you do for the community. Listeners, you just heard Linda say, but go, you know, give them a follow on Scooby Van SA on Instagram. Go search them on Facebook. Linda, if I have this website correctly, it's scoobyvansa.org.
Correct.
Go visit that website. Again, if you have money to donate, donate. If you have books to donate, donate. And just, you know, we're Amanda always says on the podcast, we're all in this together, no matter what we're going through.
Whether we truly are. Yes.
Whether it be a pandemic, whether it be financial troubles, whatever it may be, you know, here in San Antonio and all these organizations, we're all in this together. So, you know, do your part to really help out. Again, Linda, we thank you so much. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Amanda and I will discuss today's guest. So stay tuned.
Hey guys, it's Zach. As some of you may know, I help people plan for retirement. And as your advisor, I can not only show you how money truly works, but put you in control of your money today and in retirement. If you're looking to schedule a financial review, please give me a call at 210-760-0409. Thank you for listening to this archived episode of the original Essay Talk podcast. I really hope you enjoyed the interview. If you enjoyed this episode and are looking for more content, you'll want to hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on which podcast platform you are using. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I do also ask that you please give us a rate and review. That really helps the podcast grow. Lastly, if you want to keep up with the podcast, check us out on social media at SA Pod Network. Take care and viva San Antonio.